We are beginning a series here this morning on Launch Out, and we're looking at the idea this morning as we begin this series, as we think of what is launching out. Launching out is our spiritual growth. It's trusting God in the unknown of our lives. And we're going to begin this series by looking at reasons why we would not launch out, why we would not trust the Lord. And Jeremiah chapter 1 is a great example of this. Jeremiah chapter 1, let's begin our reading this morning in verse number 4, if we could. Jeremiah chapter 1, and notice what the Bible says in verse number 4. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast seen well. Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the Lord, and the word of the Lord came unto me a second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth unto all the inhabitants of the land. Let's pray together. If we could. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to be able to share your word this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and any hesitations that we have in launching out and trusting you in higher ground. I pray, Lord, that you would take those obstacles from our life. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to make good decisions this morning. We're grateful for the opportunity, Lord, that we have to come together. And I pray, Lord, that you would bind Satan and his demons. I pray that your word would fall on good ground, that it would grow in our hearts and in our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are skillful in our world in a lot of things. We are skillful and industrious in the work that we do. But if we were honest this morning, we would also have to agree that we are pretty skillful at making excuses. Now, an excuse is defined like this. An excuse is an attempt to lessen the blame, attaching to a fault or offense, to seek to defend or to justify. There are times in our life that we spend more time justifying why we don't do something than just doing it in the first place. It's easy for us to make excuses, someone said, but what we ought to be doing is making opportunity. Excuses can impact so many areas of our life. It can impact the spiritual nature of our life and the physical nature of our life. And I'm a preacher of the Bible, so I'm going to focus on this morning the spiritual aspect of our life. But we make excuses in almost every avenue of our lives today. And we can make excuses why we don't fulfill our responsibilities. There are people who make excuses why they don't fulfill the responsibilities as a father, as a mother, as a grandmother, children of the Lord. We're always in this attitude of making excuses. And the Bible has a lot to say about excuses and how these excuses can impact our life. James writes to believers in the church that they were living in the flesh and they were fighting and they were, you know, they were justifying their actions. And James writes to these believers in James chapter 3 and verse 14, and he says, don't glory and don't lie against the truth. Now, we understand this, that excuses don't always tell the full story. Our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. It was Paul that told the Galatian believers in the book of Galatians that if they were to sow to the flesh, they would eventually reap corruption. And then he makes this powerful promise. He said, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We can excuse our actions, but the seeds that we plant in our lives will eventually grow. Excuses are not new in our society. We often use the word, you know, to procrastinate, and we put things off, and we make excuses why we can't do those things today. Someone said, procrastination is my sin. It brings me naught but sorrow. I know that I should stop it. In fact, I will tomorrow. The reality is that procrastination can build up those excuses of why we don't do a particular item. Someone says, I put the pro in procrastinating. James says in James 4, verses 13, the Bible says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The Bible teaches us that today is the day that we are promised. And so we are to make good in the time that we have. In fact, it was Paul that told the church at Ephesus, he says, redeem the time in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, because the days are evil. The word redeem means to buy up the opportunities. Buy up the opportunities. We must recognize the opportunity. We must appreciate the opportunity and take hold of those opportunities for the glory of God. And the idea there that the days are evil is that there are many obstacles that are in our way. And I think one of the obstacles that are in our way is the idea of the mindset of making excuses why we don't redeem the time. Proverbs 26, verse 13 says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. Someone wrote this about this passage of Scripture. The lazy and the ingenuous person would invent excuses for their continual inactivity. The very last sermon that D.L. Moody preached was on Luke chapter 14 and verse 18. Can we turn to that passage of Scripture? His very last sermon was on Luke chapter 14 and verse number 18. And this is indeed a familiar passage of Scripture. And he preached this message to many who were unsaved in the congregation. Luke chapter 14. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 18. Luke chapter 14, verse 18. The Bible says, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. The story is simple. Many are invited to a feast, but they made excuses why they couldn't come to the feast. And the message was simple. As D.L. Moody put it in his message, would you become a Christian today? Would you place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, and yet there are so many in the world that would make excuses why they cannot come to God. I want to read the last words in his sermon, D.L. Moody's sermon. He said, dare you make light of the invitation. Suppose you would write out an excuse to the King of Heaven while sitting in the chamber hall, July 10th, 1875. I received a very pressing invitation from one of your messengers to be present at the marriage supper of the only begotten Son. I pray thee, have me excused. Would you come up right now and sign that? Would you take your pen and put your name to that excuse? I can imagine you saying you would let your right hand forget its cunning, or your tongue cleave to the roof of your mouth first. I doubt whether there is a man in this room who could be made to sign this excuse. But what will you do? Many of you will get up and go out of this hall making light of the preacher, laughing at everything you have heard, paying no attention to the invitation. How many in our world today would make excuse why they cannot come to Jesus and be saved? I think of the words of King Agrippa to Paul the Apostle, almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian. Jesus reminds us to push away all the excuses or obstacles of salvation, those things that would offend us or trip us up. Jesus said, come to him in Mark chapter 9, verses 45 to 46. Why do people make excuses in our world today? Well, let me give you some thoughts. Number one, I think people make excuses to get out of trouble. We want to blame other people or other things, or we want to blame our upbringing or blame our generation. And so we play the blame game. We make excuses so we're not the ones who are blamed. We deny our present position. We don't want to focus on where we are right now spiritually, our heart's condition. We want to avoid responsibility. We don't want to be responsible for those things, or we just simply want to keep doing what we want to do. We don't want to be told anything different, and so we make excuses why we cannot launch out, why we cannot trust God. And our excuses keep us from progressing in the Christian life. It's found in Numbers chapter 13, verses 28 and verse 33. When the spies saw themselves as grasshoppers instead of seeing God in their situation, they gave excuses why they couldn't move forward. And this is what we find in our text in Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah is the lamenting prophet. He's the weeping prophet. He prophesied in the days, the final days of Judah, before God's people were exiled into Babylon. The theme of the book is God's judgment, but there are elements of God's grace and mercy that are woven throughout this wonderful message. Jeremiah began his ministry in 627 BC, and he ended it around 582 BC, and his final prophecy was to the Jews who had fled to Egypt in Jeremiah chapter 44. For the majority of the time, Jeremiah based his ministry out of Jerusalem. The southern kingdom of Judah fell during Jeremiah's prophetic ministry in 586, and having been threatened for many years by outside powers, first Assyria, then Egypt, and then finally their conquerors, Babylon, there is no doubt that Jeremiah felt compassion for the people of God. But Jeremiah struggled to answer God's call that was placed upon his life. And his first response to God's calling was to make excuses why he could not answer that call. You know, it's where Moses finds himself in his life as he struggled also to obey the call of God. Making excuses and avoiding our responsibility is more human than we would like to think about. It has been said that excuses are tools of the incompetent, and those who specialize in them seldom go far. Benjamin Franklin said, "He that is good for making excuses is seldom good for anything else." Someone said this, "He who excuses himself accuses himself." And so let's think about Jeremiah and the excuses that he made why he couldn't launch out. Number one, let's think about the excuses of Jeremiah. Verse number 5, the Bible says this in our text. The Bible says, "Therefore I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." God had called Jeremiah to be a prophet. In verse 5, the Bible says that God had ordained Jeremiah a prophet to the nations. He was not to be a priest like his father or grandfather. A prophet was an authorized spokesperson for God. And there's no doubt that God had called Jeremiah to a difficult calling, a difficult job. He would stand before a rebellious people, and he would pour out his heart to them. But what would be their response? Well, the Bible says in Jeremiah 7, verse 27, "Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee." They will not listen to what you have to say. They will not respond to your message. So when God told Jeremiah to go, Jeremiah made excuses why he wasn't the man for the job. Jeremiah made excuses why he couldn't launch out and trust God. Now notice those excuses that he made. We notice in verse 6, the first excuse is, "I am inadequate." He says in the scripture here, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak." Again, the same response of Moses in Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 10. "I do not have the ability to speak. God, it would be better for you to just use someone else." And oftentimes we get this attitude that if God is going to use us, then we have to be the most qualified and the most talented, and we have to have great ability in order for God to use us. That we have to have truckloads of talent or God cannot use our life. But friend, listen to me. God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the called. And we find it in this scripture here that God can work through our lives in our weakness, and he will receive the glory for it. When God had called me to preach, I was 18 years old. And I was a shy kid growing up in the backwoods of Nova Scotia. And when God had placed his call upon my life and I knew that God was edging me to be a preacher, I thought to myself, "God, surely there is someone else that you could use. There has to be someone else that is better qualified for the job." But friend, by the grace of God, he can use your life if you will present it to him. And here, Jeremiah is saying, "Lord, I'm inadequate. I can't be used of you. There has to be someone else." But not only did he say, "I'm inadequate," he says, "I'm inexperienced. I'm a child," he says. "I'm just a young man." It's been said that Jeremiah probably would have been around 20 years old at this particular time in his life, and it would have been a young man for a prophet, that's for sure. But the reality is that we have to start somewhere. We have to start at one place in our life, and if we are waiting for the perfect situation to launch out, if we're waiting for the perfect circumstance, then here, I hate to break it to you, but you will never launch out for God. People say, "Well, I'll serve God when," or I'll go to church if," or "I'll tell that person about Jesus if." And we make all of these excuses why God can't use us and why we're inexperienced. And we make all of these excuses why we can't do what God is leading us to do. And sadly, those things never happen in our life. And so the Bible says, "Redeem the time, because the days are evil." There are many obstacles. And sadly, many obstacles are making excuses why we don't redeem the time. We see in this passage of Scripture the excuses of Jeremiah. But I want us to also notice the extinguishing of those obstacles in Jeremiah's life. Now, I know and you know too, that excuses are normally superficial. We make excuses of what's happening, but it's not really telling the full story of what's happening in our heart. And we need to know the heart of the issue. We make up these excuses, but we ignore or deny the spiritual need that we have in our lives. But God knows what is happening in our hearts. I want us to turn to Psalm 139. And I want us to read this passage of Scripture, if we could, together. And I want us to find great comfort in knowing that God knows our heart today, and He knows the real reason why we don't launch out and trust in Him. Psalm 139. And notice what the Bible says here in verse number 1. Psalm 139 in verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. God knows the thinking process or the emotions involved in every formed word that comes from our mouth. And sometimes you'll be talking to someone and they'll act in a certain way that you're like, where did that come from? Or they'll say a certain word that you'll say, where did that come from? And the reality is God knows the heart. God knows how those words were formed. And Jeremiah said he was a youth. And God said, you don't have to be experienced. You just have to do what I command you. You just have to follow my leading in your life, and I will direct you. And friend, listen to me. In the Christian life, if we stay in communication with God, we will never lack direction in our life. If we stay in communication with God, we will never lack direction in our life. Jeremiah said, wait a minute, I can't speak. I don't know what to say. I don't know the words to say to this rebellious people. And God says, hey, listen, I'll give you the words to speak. I'll give you the direction and I'll help you to put the words together. God says here, I'll lead you, I'll guide you, I'll direct you. But I think as I read this passage of Scripture that we see that there are two excuses that Jeremiah gave. But I believe as we read this, God gets to the bigger issue brewing in Jeremiah's heart. And I believe it's found in verse number 8. God says, oh, by the way, Jeremiah, I'm the one who sees your heart, and don't be afraid of their faces. Because I think that the underlining problem that Jeremiah had in his heart was he was afraid to launch out and to trust God. And fear can keep us from obeying God. Fear can keep us from a lot of things in our life. When God spoke of those who were cast into the lake of fire, the ones who were leading the way, the Bible says, were the fearful. The fearful. How many people don't trust Christ as their Savior because they are afraid of what someone else will say, or they're afraid of what a spouse will say, or what a coworker will say, and they'll give a whole host of excuses why they can't be a Christian. But the underlying reason was they are fearful. They're afraid. Fear can keep us from doing what is right. But if we allow fear to stop us from obeying God in our lives, then the reality is we will never launch out to trust in Him. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but God has given us power and love and of a sound mind. And maybe today, before you make excuses, maybe you should get to the heart of the issue. Maybe you should ask God to reveal to you what's really holding you back and ask God to help you. We see in this passage of Scripture in verse 9, the touch of God in verse 9, and the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. This symbolic act of touching the prophet's lips was a sign that God would frame in his mouth what he would speak. And this divine pledge of inspiration is said of Peter as holy men of God spake, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And we have this incredible promise here to Jeremiah, as God says, listen, Jeremiah, you don't have to be afraid of their faces, because I'm going to go before you, and I'm going to give you strength, and I'm going to give you power, and I'm going to give you purpose. I have called you. I will provide for you. You can launch out today and trust in me. And in verse 10, God gives Jeremiah that purpose as an overseer of the nations. In his message, the Bible says that he would build up and he would also destroy. He would build up with the truth of God and the mercy of God, but also he would tear down by this coming judgment and the message of judgment. He would tear down their obstacles and excuses with God's truth. And I'm reminded of what Paul told Timothy. He said, Timothy, preach the word and be instant in season and out of season. He said, reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, whether it's in season, whether it's popular or whether it's not popular. He said, just keep on preaching the Bible. Keep on preaching the word of God. And so we find the excuses of Jeremiah. We see God taking away each of these excuses, but also revealing the heart of the issue. I want us to notice the encouragement of God. The encouragement of God. I think one of the excuses that we often use in our life is, why could God use me? Or why would God even want to use me? And if you're a Christian today and you have a holy calling upon your life, which if you're a Christian, you do, you have God's purposes in your life that you would be Christ-like. And it ought to be our desire as Christians to be usable to God. And this is Paul's message to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. God wants us to be used for his eternal purposes. And we cannot allow the devil to convince us of anything else. And so God gives Jeremiah two signs that I believe outlines his ministry. It kind of helps us to get some perspective. The first sign that we find in Jeremiah 1 verse 11 is the rod of an almond tree. And we notice in verse 11, the Bible says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree, or a branch of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Now, it's interesting, the Hebrew word for almond is wakeful. It's the first tree in Palestine that awakes after the winter sleep. And its meaning here of this sign is given in verse number 12, that the prophecies of God that God gives to Jeremiah, they will come to pass. Jeremiah, listen, you're an important part in this ministry, because what I give to you, the prophecies that I reveal to you, they will come to pass. My word is, I will perform it. I think about the message today in the Bible. I think about the way of heaven and the life of a soul. I think about the consequences of sin. Heaven and hell lie in the balance. And we cannot excuse away our responsibilities toward God as a child of God to be a preacher of his word. God's word will come to pass today. And I want to remind you, if you're not a Christian here this morning, if you could say in the depths of your heart that you are not sure where you would go when this life is over, friend, listen, God brought you here this morning so that you would be saved. God loves you, He cares about you, and He doesn't want you to excuse away the opportunity that God has given to you. He wants you to be a Christian today. Would you put your faith and trust in Him? Would you launch out today and be a Christian? We see a second sign in the scripture. Not only is there a rod of an almond tree, there's also a seething pot. And the Bible says in verse 13, and the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. The prophecy is simple. The enemy would come from the north. Jerusalem and Judah would be destroyed. It says this in verse number 15. The Bible says in verse 16, because they had turned to other gods, they had forsaken the true God. And in verse 17, what does God tell Jeremiah? He says, gird up the loins, your loins, and arise and speak unto them. My judgment is coming. You cannot excuse away your responsibilities because you have an important message to carry. And we as Christians today have a very important message to carry. We cannot excuse away our responsibility. We cannot say, well, somebody else can do it. Someone more talented can do it. No, God wants us today to be His messenger. We are ambassadors for the Lord. It's easy to make excuses today why we should not do something or do something else. But it's time, Christian, for us to gird up our loins, to be ready, and to serve the Lord. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 35, let your loins be girded about and your lights be burning. Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I say to you today to launch out in your spiritual growth. Trust God and take that next step. Don't make excuses why you're not the one. Don't make excuses why you cannot. But look to the Lord today. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not next year. Today. Today. Say yes to Jesus today. Wherever you are spiritually today, whatever God is doing in your heart, would you say yes to the Lord? Maybe to church membership, maybe to baptism, maybe to discipleship. Whatever that next step is in your Christian life, launch out today. Launch out today and trust the Lord. And if you're not a Christian here this morning, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. When we have that invitation song, you can walk forward. I'll acknowledge you, and we'll have someone from a Bible show you how you can be saved. After the service, you can talk to me, and we can deal with that spiritual need today. But I beseech you, I beg you, don't wait for tomorrow. Today. Today. God help us to make good decisions today. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And we're great.